And next, we'll have Kate Marshall, also from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, and she's going to talk about an outbreak of Listeria monocytogenes linked to frozen vegetables, 2013 to 2016.
Thank you, Kurt. So I'm going to give you a little bit of background about Listeria in the United States, a little bit of background on how we investigate Listeria outbreaks, and then dive into the investigation. So listeriosis is caused by infection with Listeria monocytogenes, which I'll just refer to as Listeria from here on, and it causes approximately 1,600 illnesses each year in the United States, with most ill people being hospitalized and resulting in about 250 deaths. People at higher risk for infection or serious illness include pregnant women and their newborns, older adults, and people who are immunocompromised. Infection with Listeria can cause miscarriages and stillbirths in pregnant women, serious illness or deaths in newborns, and sepsis or meningitis in older adults. The Listeria Initiative began in 2004, and it was launched to collect clinical, demographic, and food exposure information for all people with listeriosis. State and local health departments interview all people using the standardized Listeria Initiative case report form, which is shown here. Whether or not they are identified as part of an outbreak. And that assists us in outbreak investigations in two major ways. First, the Listeria Initiative form collects questions on exposures to more than 40 foods, and so it helps us with early hypothesis generation. But also by having completed case report forms for all people with listeriosis, we're able to have controls for a case-case comparison to help identify suspect foods and test our hypothesis. I'm going to skip this slide since Lindsay also has the same slide. But I am going to touch on whole genome sequencing because it is a little bit different for Listeria versus some of our other enteric pathogens like Salmonella and E. coli. So sequencing for Listeria started in 2013, and we sequence all Listeria clinical, food, and environmental isolates, and it's in near real time. So outbreaks are now detected using whole genome sequencing rather than being PFGE-based, as is still the case for Salmonella and E. coli outbreaks, which began in September of 2013. So we analyze these isolates using whole genome multi-locus sequence typing, or WGMLST, which is different than the main method that we're using for E. coli and Salmonella right now, which is the HQ SNP analysis. And the WGMLST analysis also provides us with a tree, but it determines the differences in alleles between two isolates. And the idea is similar to the HQ-SNP analysis, such that the smaller the difference in alleles between two isolates, the more genetically related they are and the more likely they are to carry or to have a common source. So in March of 2016, PulseNet identified a cluster of 8 Listeria infections with a single PFGE pattern combination that were closely related by WGS. So this is the WGMLST tree that PulseNet provided. The 8 clinical isolates are shown here highlighted in yellow, and they include isolates that span back to 2013. Interestingly, there were also some non-human isolates that were included in this tree, including 2 isolates from onions that are highlighted here in green that were collected in Washington in 2014, and also 3 isolates that were from green beans. And finally, in blue, there were 2 isolates that were collected by FDA from Company A Environment, and this company was also located in Washington. And as I said, all of these were closely related by WGMLST, and they were between 0 and 16 alleles different, with a median of 6 alleles, which is shown in red at the bottom left of the tree. So we're really interested in these non-human isolates at this point. So we worked with our colleagues at FDA to learn a little bit more about them. So the food samples, as stated, were historical isolates from green beans and onions, but they were submitted anonymously, so there was no way we were going to learn any more information about where they came from. The environmental samples, however, were collected by FDA from Company A, and Listeria was isolated from Zone 1, which designates food contact surfaces within the environment of the production facility, and Zone 3. So Company A processed wholesale frozen blueberries and onions, which is pretty interesting given that we had these other non-human isolates. And they sold these wholesale. So they went to other companies, but they were not sold directly to consumers. So at this point, we decided to develop a supplemental questionnaire because frozen fruits and vegetables are not captured routinely on the Listeria Initiative questionnaire. So we asked about frozen vegetables, frozen fruit, but we also wanted to ask about other items that might include frozen vegetables, like frozen meals. We asked about fresh onions, fresh fruit, and deli salads. And importantly, we wanted to collect information that would enable us to retrieve shopper card information because a lot of these illnesses were from 2015, and one was even from 2013. So as we all know, we cannot remember foods that we ate last week, let alone months and years ago. So this was just going to be a really valuable tool for us. So we initially got back shopper card records and questionnaires for three ill people, and we'll go through some of their exposures. So the first ill person reported eating frozen fruits, but they didn't recall the brand, and their shopper card records didn't provide any information on frozen fruit purchases, unfortunately. The second ill person reported eating frozen vegetables, and their shopper card records indicated that they ate brand one frozen peas and brand two frozen organic stir-fry mixed vegetables. The third ill person reported eating frozen vegetables and fruit, including brand one frozen mixed vegetables, brand two frozen mixed vegetables, and frozen strawberries. So while we were gathering all this epidemiologic information, together with FDA, we had a call with Company A and shared some of our findings with them and that there were clinical isolates that were highly related. So then Company A decided to conduct a voluntary recall on the basis of the FDA inspectional findings, the Listeria that was isolated from the production environment, including those Zone 1 isolates, and the identification of closely related clinical isolates. So this was great. But then we were really surprised to see this other announcement of a frozen vegetable recall. It wasn't from Company A. It was from a different company, which I'll just call Company B. So as you can see in the box here, this was a result of routine testing by the Ohio Department of Agriculture, who collected frozen vegetables from a retail location for testing for Listeria, and they identified Listeria in these samples. So this recall, Company B, included four different brands of frozen vegetables and several different types. So it included brand one, frozen corn, peas, and mixed vegetables, brand three, frozen corn and peas, brand four, frozen peas and mixed vegetables, and brand five, frozen corn. So if everyone was paying attention to some of the earlier slides, you might recognize brand one, and that was reported by two ill people. One person had reported brand one frozen peas, and the other had reported brand one frozen vegetables. So this was really interesting. But we didn't yet have the PFGE pattern for these Listeria isolates. We didn't know yet if they were related to our outbreak. So it was brand three that was actually picked up by the Ohio Department of Agriculture, and the frozen corn yielded the outbreak PFGE pattern, but the frozen peas yielded a different PFGE pattern. So we sequenced these isolates, and unsurprisingly, the isolate from the sweet corn that had the same PFG pattern did fall in to the tree and was closely related to our other clinical isolates, the green bean isolates, the onion isolates, and the environment of Company A. The green peas, however, also not super surprising, was a different strain, as shown by the over 2,000 allele difference in the sequencing results. So this, again, provided information that this is a different strain. So at this point, we queried PulseNet to see if there were any other clinical matches and identified a California patient whose isolate was highly related by sequencing to the isolate from the green peas, bringing us to a total of 9 cases. So we interviewed this ill person as well with a supplemental questionnaire and collected shopper card data, and they reported eating frozen fruits and vegetables as well, including brand 6 frozen asparagus, brand 7 mixed vegetables and green beans, brand 8 mixed vegetables, peas, broccoli, and strawberry. So definitely a lot of frozen produce. Meanwhile, the third ill person, which is a California resident, had provided brand 1 leftover samples of the frozen vegetable mix, both open and closed bags. So the California Food and Drug Branch picked up these samples, tested them, and the leftover both bags yielded both outbreak PFPE patterns, which is very exciting. So we sequenced these, and these also were closely related to our other clinical isolates, the onion isolates, the environment, and the green beans, for a total of 6 isolates from frozen vegetables. So we shared this information with Company B, and they expanded their recall to include everything that was made since March of 2014, because remember, we did have ill people that went all the way back to 2013. Frozen foods are sometimes stored in people's freezers for a long time. This is great. This is a very, very large expanded recall that includes 42 brands and 456 products. And as demonstrated by this very distraught blogger, this recall eventually expanded outside of frozen vegetables to include frozen meat and chicken products that were made with frozen vegetables as well. Additional isolates were collected from frozen mixed vegetables that were tested by FDA, and they also were closely related by sequencing. And these are from different brands that were associated with Company B. And this is the final whole genome sequencing tree for this outbreak investigation. Towards the top, there is an additional isolate that was collected from leftover frozen mixed vegetables that had been recalled from a family in Idaho that had been experiencing gastrointestinal illness. And they were not tested, so there was no listeria that was isolated from stool or any other specimens. But this was certainly an interesting find. The blue box at the bottom of the tree is the third strain of listeria that was identified, and this was also from the initial inspection by FDA at Company A facility. But there were no clinical isolates that were highly related to this third strain. So this is the epi-curve of people infected with the outbreak strains of listeria. So as I mentioned, we had people that became ill in September 2013 all the way through May of 2016. All 9 ill people were hospitalized, and unfortunately, 3 people died. This is a map that shows the distribution of cases. There were 4 states that had cases in this outbreak, with the majority of them being in California. So in conclusion, this is the first outbreak of listeria that was linked to frozen produce. And considering it was a relatively small number of illnesses and unfortunately 3 deaths, that led to this massive recall of 456 products sold under 42 brands. And as I mentioned too, this was not limited to frozen vegetables and fruits, but include prepared salads, frozen meals, and frozen snack foods as well. So it was quite extensive. But if we didn't identify or solve this outbreak, we think that low numbers of illnesses might have continued indefinitely. So remember, of all the ill people that we had information for in this outbreak, none reported eating frozen vegetables. There weren't frozen vegetables in any of the mixes that people reported eating. So without the environmental sampling that was done by FDA, and without the testing that had been done by the Ohio Department of Agriculture at Retail, I don't think that this outbreak would have been solved. Remember, frozen vegetables are not a standard question on our Listeria initiative. Unfortunately, we weren't able to obtain any detailed information on how the frozen vegetables and fruits were prepared to understand whether or not they were cooking them on a stovetop versus microwaving, or whether or not they were consuming them raw. Or, for example, for frozen fruits, whether or not they might have been eating them in smoothies. There were a lot of people that contributed to this investigation, and I would like to acknowledge all of them listed here, and there's probably many others that aren't listed in here. So to those people, I'm sorry, but thank you.
Thank you, Kate. So while people are coming up to the microphone for questions, I'll ask something similar that I asked Lindsay. You had to do a supplemental questionnaire because many of these foods of potential interests were not on the Listeria Initiative questionnaire, so kind of what's being done to incorporate this and all the other kind of newly identified vehicles for Listeria?
Yeah, thanks, Kirk. So the when we were investigating this outbreak, we were still using the old version of the Listeria Initiative that had questions for 40 different food exposures, but in April of 2016, we actually launched a new version of the Listeria Initiative that now includes 155 food exposure questions, so it's quite expanded. There are questions on individual fruits in there, and then a sub-question of whether or not they were consumed fresh or purchased fresh, frozen, or dried. But the story's a little bit different for vegetables. There's individual vegetables that are listed, but there isn't a specific question that captures whether or not they're fresh or frozen. And there's no catch-all question that asks specifically about frozen vegetables. So it's maybe not the most satisfying answer, but no, that's where we're at today.
Great presentation. Aizan Azam from Nevada. I have two questions. One is, do we know if the contaminated material is inside the bag or outside the bag? Because I think it's very important to know that if they were contaminated during preparation or during transportation, especially when we are talking about so many kinds, it's kind of hard to believe that all their processes, regardless of what is the content, are infected. And this really brings me to the other question. Because of all wasted material, all this amount of food and the flour before, it's what do you think about radiating food, which would prevent the problem during preparation, but wouldn't prevent the transportation contamination and the handling?
Yeah, thank you for that question. If you recall back to the whole genome sequencing results and the initial investigation by FDA, this was done at Company A, which is a wholesale producer of onions, and they froze them. It was an individual quick frozen product. But you'll remember that we linked this ultimately to a different company. So Company A did actually send some of their product to Company B. So we think that likely, just given the information from the environmental investigation that was done by FDA and by the testing, that the source of contamination likely could have come from this original company, Company A. And so that product perhaps could have cross-contaminated other product in Company B, but we don't have any evidence really to support that. There's no environmental testing that would suggest that that's the case. So it's sort of an unanswered question for us. Whether or not there were opportunities during transportation, that part I'm not sure of. We do actually have some of our colleagues from FDA here, and I don't know if anyone from there had any other thoughts that they wanted to add. No.
Very quickly.
Two quick questions. I'm Ramsey again from Idaho. Were any of these listeria linked to the Blue Bunny ice cream outbreaks?
They were not.
Okay. And did anyone, you know, this kind of reminds me of like the cantaloupes where the cold storage handling was done improperly. Anything like that found in the investigation?
I'm not aware of any issues of cold hand. I'm looking at Ozma, who is our lead FDA investigator.
Yeah, I think they were using colder waters, mm-hmm. which closed the stoma, which entrapped the listeria in the in the rind. So, yeah, I was just wondering if that was found in any part of the investigation. You know, I'll take my answer sitting down.
Okay. Yeah, we should move on. Thank you, Kate.